In the news this past week, there were reports about the 70th anniversary of the bombing of Dresden during the Second World War, and it's a very contentious issue. And the Allied bombers basically pounded the city for 3 days and destroyed the entire city, and the city had to be rebuilt from scratch. And there's been much controversy over that bombing. And yet there's been very little talk about the bomber crews who risked their lives to fly over Germany night by night and to defeat Nazi Germany. And one of the most iconic images of the Second World War would have to be the Lancaster bomber. And the Lancaster bomber was a great big plane, and it had the task of delivering bombs over Germany and France during the Second World War. And it's interesting to note that during the Second World War, there were 120,000 men who passed through Bomber Command. 120,000 men served with Bomber Command, and over 55,000 of them were killed. And we owe them a wonderful price. They have brought us freedom, and it's good that their memory should be preserved. And if you were listening to the BBC in the last week, they said basically nothing about the bomber crews. It was only one side of the story. But some time ago, I was reading about a wireless operator who was with Bomber Command in the Second World War. And during his last flight, his last scheduled flight over Germany, his plane was shot down, and he was the only one to survive. He was wearing a parachute. Everybody else was crammed in, and they really hadn't room to fit their parachutes, although they should have been wearing them. And he was the only one to escape from that plane. And there was a crew of seven on the Lancaster bomber. There was the pilot, there was the flight engineer, there was the navigator and the bomb aimer and the wireless operator and two gunners. And yet this wireless operator was the only one to survive. He landed in Holland on the way back home, and he landed in a field, and he could see his plane in the distance, and it was burning, and he knew that there were no other parachutes, and he knew that his six friends were all killed. After the war, he was asked by a newspaper reporter, how did he feel at that moment? What was going through his mind? What were his emotions at that time? After all, he was in a foreign country. He was in enemy territory, and his six closest friends had all been killed. And the reporter said, how did you feel at that moment? Well, he said, I sat down just behind a hedge, and the following words came to mind. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low, and deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. That young man was in a terrible situation, but he remembered the words he was taught in Sunday school from Psalm 142. He cried out to God in prayer, and he made his way through Holland and through France and over the Pyrenees and into Spain, and he returned back to Great Britain. He was saved. He was a Christian man, but he had gone through a terrible ordeal. And as I was reading about that young man's story, it brought me back to Psalm 142 and to the psalmist David. And here is the great future king of Israel and Judah, this man who had been called by God when he was a young boy, and yet he finds himself here in a terrible place. And when we look into the background of this psalm, we realize that David is hiding in a cave, because King Saul, to whom he had once been so loyal, Saul was now after his life, and he was doing his utmost to have the psalmist killed and destroyed. And as I said, the commentators would augur that this was the lowest point in David's life. He was in a cold, dark cave. He was basically an outcast, an outlaw of society. And what does he do? Well, does he sit back and say, well, this situation is absolutely hopeless. I meant to be the great man of God, and yet I find myself here in a cave. And we wouldn't blame him if he was thinking that way. And you remember the story of how David was called to be king. Samuel the prophet was sent to the house of Jesse, and there were seven sons, and all these fine young men were brought in, and there were six of them. And yet the future king was not to be found. And Samuel said, is there anybody else? And Jesse said, well, there is my youngest, but he's out in the fields, he's looking after the sheep. And so David was brought in, this young lad. He was the youngest in the family. And he was anointed there and then as the future king of Israel. And David could have thought back and said, well, here I am, I'm in this awful cave, and my situation is hopeless. I meant to be the great man of God. I meant to be the future king. And I remember that day so well when I was called in from the field and I was anointed. And I remember that day as well when I killed that great giant Goliath. And yet here I am today in this awful cave, and my life is under threat. He could have felt sorry for himself. He could have said, well, the situation is hopeless. But what does he do? He exercises faith. He cries to God in prayer. He says in verse 1, I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out my complaint before him. I tell before him my trouble. And friends, this morning, this is the message I want to leave with you, first and foremost, that our God is the God who hears and answers prayer. And as we think about our Christian salvation, we think about all the blessings we have, and we have the forgiveness of sins, we have God's peace, and we have the hope of glory. We have so many blessings, but the greatest blessing of all is the fact that we can go into God's presence and say, my Father who art in heaven. That is the greatest blessing of our salvation, that God is our Father, that we have been reconciled to him. And as we live in this world, it's very much like a cave at times, a place of loneliness, a place of persecution, a place of trial. And perhaps you're here this morning in First of Hockle and your heart is breaking and you know you're a child of God, but you're saying the going is so hard and no one has any idea of what I'm going through. Perhaps you're saying that here today, and I would encourage you to look to these words. Our God is the God who hears and answers prayer. He says here, I cry aloud to the Lord with my voice. With my voice, I cry to the Lord for mercy. I pour out my complaint before him. I would say today on the authority of the Bible that prayer is the supreme blessing of our salvation. That we who are sitting here in First of Hockle is hardly going to make the headlines of the world. And yet as we sit here today in this part of the world, in this small corner of Northern Ireland, as we pray, our prayers are heard in the very throne room of heaven. We have an audience today with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We can go right into God's presence through this new and living way open for us in the name of Jesus Christ. And today I ask the question, but I ask myself first and foremost, are we a praying people? Are we supplicating the throne of grace in these days? Our lives are busy. We know that so well. But are we a people of prayer? Are we daily coming before God and pouring out our hearts before him? We need to ask ourselves that question. We talk about revival. We look back to the past and we give thanks for it. But are we using this wonderful means of grace? And especially for those here today whose hearts are breaking. There are many in this congregation that, and I know so many here this morning, but there are so many people I don't know, but I do know this. There will be those here this morning, and you're finding the going hard. And if truth be told, you're at your wits' end. Can I encourage you to look to the Lord? He's only a prayer away. It's so easy to keep our problems as God's people, and yes, we have all the terminology, and yet we keep our problems to ourselves. And we don't remember the words of the old hymn that in Jesus Christ we have a great friend. Oh, this morning turn to Him. Look to Him afresh. If you look there at verse number 5, the psalmist says, I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. As we pass through this world, it's so easy to become caught up with the things of sense, things that we can touch and see and handle. And yet the Lord alone is our refuge and our portion. Friends, we are living in a world which is passing away, and we see that before our eyes each and every day. Moral standards are at an all-time low, and they're going to get worse. We are living in a world, to be very honest, that is absolutely sick. And we look at the leaders of our land, and they stand in Parliament, and they give these great speeches about same-sex marriage, and it's an absolute disgrace before a holy God. And it's no wonder the judgment of God is upon Great Britain at this time. And the politicians, they wonder, why are things so bad, and why is the economy the way it is? It's because of sin. It's because of national sin they have forsaken the Lord. We need to get back to that place. And it starts in the church where we realize that the Lord alone is our refuge and our portion in the land of the living. We need to get back to the place of prayer and pray that He will have mercy upon our nation and pray that He will pour out showers of blessing. Some time ago, I was reading about Queen Victoria, a wonderful monarch. And in Buckingham Palace, she was entertaining guests from the Far East. And the guests were brought into her private chambers, and they were talking quite freely. And one of the guests asked her the question, "What is the secret of Great Britain's power? What is the secret of Great Britain's power?" Now, that question was posed in the late 19th century. And Queen Victoria got up, and she went over to her writing desk, and she pulled out an old book, and it was badly worn and well thumbed. And she went over to the coffee table, and she set down that book. And that book was the Bible. And she pointed to it, and she said, "That book and that book alone explains the power of Great Britain." Friends, we need to get back to that place where the Lord alone is our refuge and our portion. We need to get back to that place of prayer. And as the Church of Jesus Christ, we need to set the example. And it starts in our personal lives at home, and then it filters through to the church, and then it filters right through into society. The Lord is a gracious God. He listens to the prayers of His people. Perhaps you're saying today, "Well, I watch the news and I listen to the BBC and it's absolutely awful, and what can I do?" You can pray. As God's child, you can pray. Look all through the history of the Christian church. Look at those great times of revival. 3 or 4 people, they gathered for prayer and revival came. Let us know. Let us remember, let us realize afresh this morning that the Lord alone is our refuge and our portion. And let us realize that He is the God who hears and answers prayer. And then as we close this morning in verse number 7, the psalmist here says, "Set me free, Lord, from my prison, that I may praise Your name. And then the righteous will gather about me because of Your goodness to me." And the psalmist David here, he was in a terrible place. He was in a cold, dark cave. He had no company. He was an outcast. Everything was against him. But there came a day after this psalm was written, a day when he left this cave behind, a day when he took his place on the throne in Jerusalem, a day when he became the greatest king of Israel and Judah. And to this very day in the land of Israel, they have the Star of David on their flag. There came for David a day of salvation, you might say, a day of redemption. And for God's people, we look forward to a day of redemption, a day of salvation, a day of glorification as well. Because someday we shall leave this world behind. And there will be no more pain and no more suffering, no more disappointment, no more depression, no more debt, no more problems. It will be glory for all eternity. And the Lord is coming soon. Look forward to that day. That day keeps me going as I live in this world. It motivates me in my ministry to realize that someday I shall see my lovely Savior face to face, and I shall bask in His glory for all eternity. Child of God, look forward to that day. And perhaps you're here this morning and you're saying, well, prayer for me is not a reality. I don't know God as my Father. I don't have this wonderful hope of glory. And I would say to you this morning, there's good news. There's wonderful good news. We're still in the day of grace. And the Lord still invites you through His Word and by His Spirit to come to Him. And He offers salvation. Oh, it's so rich and it's so free. There was somebody asked me a while ago, what do I need to do? There are some of my friends, and they tell me I need to be saved. There are some of my friends, they said, and they say I need to be born again. I need to be converted. And I'm so confused, what do I need to do? And I said to them, well, forget about all those terms for 1 minute. They're important and they have their place, but forget about those terms. I said, your greatest need today is to be united to Christ. United to Christ by faith. And I shared with them the words of the old catechism, and it puts it so well. It says, we embrace Christ. We embrace Him as He's offered to us in the gospel. My friend, embrace Him today. Come to Him. This world will offer you nothing but disappointment and pain. And in the last analysis, you will be thrust out into a lost eternity. But the Savior is calling. Embrace Him today. Trust Him. And trust your heart to Him for all eternity. What a wonderful God we have. We pray. Our Father, You are the God who hears and answers prayer. And we thank You for the privilege of calling You our Father. Father, we live in a dry and weary land. We find the going so hard. But we confess today that You are our refuge and our portion. Help us to be strong in You and in the power of Your might. And Father, we look forward expectantly, because someday there will be a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness shall dwell, and Your people shall enjoy glory for all eternity. Lord, keep that day always before us. And for those today who don't know You, but who are considering Your wonderful salvation, we pray that You will grant them the grace they so desperately require. And we pray that You will save them. In Jesus' name, amen.